Hey guys, Zach Wilson here. You may know me as Marvel Movie News' Voice of Doom, and I'm here to tell you about some exciting stuff coming this fall. You've seen her fly, now watch her move to a brand new network. The CW has a new hero when Supergirl lands October 10th. It's the season 2 premiere of the show that critics call pure blissful fun. This season, the Man of Steel will finally be revealed. Supergirl's Melissa Benoist teams up with Tyler Hoechlin, the newest Superman of the DC Universe. It's a superhuman family reunion when these Kryptonian cousins join forces in the fight for justice. And if you're wondering if the next president will be a woman, we have your answer. Because Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, guest stars as Supergirl's Commander-in-Chief. Even though Supergirl has her hands full fighting evil full-time, Kara Danvers is facing changes, as challenges of her own. She knows what it takes to be a hero, but Kara is trying to figure out how to fit in with the human race while taking on a new job, new friends, and a new love who's out of this world. An evil corporate empire will rise that bears the name of an age-old nemesis, Luthor. Supergirl and Superman come face-to-face with Lex Luthor's next of kin, Lillian and Lena. And as you might expect, the Luthor family shares a passion for power that can only be satisfied by a different kind of green. Kryptonite. Supergirl, all new episodes every Monday, now only on the CW.
Hey there, Merry Marvelites. Today we're talking Ghost Rider, we're talking Legion, we're talking Logan, we're talking maybe some Punisher news, and I think we've got this little thing called Iron Fist and this little thing called Doctor Strange that happened last night. I don't know, sit there and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talk.
Sit there.
Sit there.
Like,
sit right there.
There's a TH in there. But
we're,
sit there.
We're back.
Sit there. Sit there. Y'all go in to sit there.
Sit there.
Oh my goodness. It's like I'm back in Texas or
something.
Well,
welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I was sick last
His
night.
His sickness caused theirs.
Last night. Well, I was sick last night in a different way. Sick with madness at the Doctor Strange VIP IMAX thingamajig.
Real jealous.
Ooh.
You should be, because Scott Derrickson and Kevin Feige were there. Like, they walked down on so we saw Scott Derrickson walking in, and I went with my friend Tom. We've had him on the show before. Mm-hmm. He's a screenwriting and film professor at Azusa Pacific.
Good
where
Falcon
Scott
cosplay.
Derrickson, yeah. Scott Derrickson, the director of Doctor Strange, teaches there sometimes, is relatively good friends with Tom, and we walk in, and Scott Derrickson's right there at the entrance, like, conferring with a few other people from Marvel. And I'm just, like, losing my mind. I'm like, that's Scott Derrickson. And I know Tom knows him, because he's talked about it before.
Right.
And he goes, Scott, what's up? And he goes, hey, Tom, I'll be right back. And, like, they took him off, and we kind of wait around for a second or two, and we're like, he's gone. We've got to go get our seats. Like, Everyone's leaving. We'll see him later. And then it was, like, a VIP, like, only kind of thing afterwards, so we didn't get to talk. But, like, it was cool just to be in the presence of a man that, like, Scott was
created
like,
strange.
Hello! And I was like, he waved in my direction, and he has been with the Strange.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Not right now, but last night, yes.
A lot.
Yeah, last night, certainly.
Oh, goodness.
So we'll be talking about that later. Anyway, sorry, we should tell you who we are if you're not familiar with it at all. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 103, coming to you live from Kunlun. I thought that was appropriate. I'm going to have plenty of Sanctum Sanctorums coming up, but Kunlun, I thought that was nice, right? Yeah. On our show, we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us through the website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us. And guys, if you tell all your friends in Twitter land, and in the Twitterverse, in the Twitter dimension. The Twitter dimension. if you tweet out a link to our show telling people that we have a live chat and that we have a live show going on and everything else, Doom will retweet you from his booth in Latveria.
Doom has, there's so much news, you guys.
So
Doom
much.
Is drunk with
tweet
news.
Tweet your favorite news.
There's so much news.
This is a lot.
Doom is drinking daddy bourbon.
Doom had to calm down.
I just want to quickly in the live chat, shout out to Nadim Shik, who's watching from Fiji, who said,
whoa.
Hey, Koi, hello from Fiji. Also, will you have given the opportunity to play Carnage in the MCU? If given the opportunity, yes.
Who
yes,
wouldn't?
I will. In a second. But thank you. I loved that. That was like how the show opened with Mid. Like, would you? Yes.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would.
There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yes. speaking of which, here we are.
Yeah. Oh no, I was getting to it. Sorry. Oh, okay. Like he was like live chat, blah blah blah, like interrupting me.
Excuse me for loving our fans. Yeah. Excuse me.
I'm in the Twitter universe right now.
No, Twitter away. So I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key, and we are joined by Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau. And Markia McCarty, who I'm still trying to get your Twitter name down the way that you say it.
Oh, well, to spell it is MarkeiaMccarty.
Okay, and that's your Twitter handle. That's my in front
at,
of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And Instagram also. Yeah.
And there's Darth pictures. Thin Mints?
Darth Thin Mints for Snapchat.
I remember! What? Yes! I don't even have that in my notes. I was just like, I just know it. I just thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you, massive studio audience. Thank you. Anyway, do you guys have anything you want to talk about before we jump into this whirlwind of news?
Well, you have me super excited for Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah,
for
I was telling you guys a little bit about it earlier, huh?
I really want to. I can't wait till we get to that part.
I just want to say, at the end of the month, the Rocky Horror thing I'm doing is going to be absolutely bananas, and we're gearing up for Hell Week, and it's going to be awesome. So if you're anywhere on the West Coast, I'll get you guys in. It's going to be crazy. And I did a virtual reality short that I finally get to see footage of, and watching yourself in a movie is weird, but watching yourself when you can move around yourself is the most surreal experience of your life. It was like astral planing myself.
Because
it was VR.
Weird.
So I literally got to walk around me.
That's super weird.
Up to me and walk away from me.
No,
and
I would hate
that's
that.
Ridiculous.
I got to interact with another 3D version of myself.
Oh, I would hate that
it's
so much.
The weirdest experience.
Oh, no.
So I've had a very surreal week of just like existential crises by a video.
No. Nice. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm having existential crises not for those reasons. Doctor Strange, marriage, couple years from 40, it's all that, like.
Can you walk up to a version of yourself and just go,
dance off, bro?
Somehow we both lose.
Yeah. Oh, so funny.
Oh, man.
All right, so let's jump into it. So New York Comic Con was this past week. We were not there. Hopefully some of you fans were there, and if you were, like, let us know what your favorite stuff was and everything. Tweet at us and be like, hey, I was there, and it was great. Here's the reason why. ABC. Before New York Comic Con started happening, and maybe even anticipation of it, Fox started releasing a little bit more information about Wolverine 3. Among those was that the title of the film is simply going to be Logan. And they announced that by showing the picture of old man Logan's hand with the paws clopped. That's not the way
paws,
to say that.
The
yeah.
paws clopped.
The claws popped, holding the hand of a little girl. Or presumably a little girl. It could be a little boy. It's a child, but like...
That is a little hand. His hand lost it. It's obvious.
No, that's him holding his own child hand.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a little girl because of some of the descriptions that we've had. But Logan, and I wrote a little piece about it on Geek Girl Authority, but I want to talk about this real quick. I think that naming it Logan is really super cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like Wolverine 3, all right, like here's what Wolverine 3 or Wolverine subtitle gives you. This is every other Wolverine movie you've seen, just in a different, with different details and different like version of Wolverine, like slight differences, but it's going to be the same movie. He's going to be popping his claws and he's going to kill some guys and he's going to go on an adventure and save some people. Mm. Calling it Logan though, that's not a Wolverine
movie.
It's
about his, it's him.
Yeah, it's the same thing as calling a Superman movie Clark.
Right. There's a certain personal like aspect to it. There's also, you know, you're not just experiencing your regular superhero movie.
Yeah.
You're also going into it like the old man Logan connotation just by having it be Logan. And it shows how strong of a brand Wolverine is. You don't have to call it Wolverine. From a marketing standpoint, that's amazing to me that we live in a society that's like, hey, Logan. And that's good. Okay, here's $200 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Now Fox... as we all know, has a hard time cranking out like super duper incredible quality X-Men films and Marvel, like just Marvel films in general. I think Apocalypse was a mess, but it was a fun mess. Days of Future Past was great, but it never really felt like an X-Men movie. I mean, we've had this conversation, but oh my God, Fox marketing can do no wrong. They like the Deadpool stuff, all the Apocalypse stuff, like all the 80s videos that they show,
all the
like,
scenes they
all
cut.
The
that
stuff.
Movie I love that is on the cutting room floor is amazing. I love that movie.
Like Fox marketing is great, and they're proving it once again by calling it Logan. Like, I think that is such a smart. Like, I'm excited to see like the man behind the claws. Like, that's basically what this is, and it's like the man behind the claws, and it really feels like it's a sort of passing of the torch.
Yeah.
to
X-23.
To X-23, who they're not calling X-23.
Or Deadpool, depending, because that's what I saw. I refuse to accept anything else. And that is the new Wolverine. Ryan Reynolds is going to pop up in every X-Men movie, and I'm going to be real happy about it.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
But you can tell me anything. I can even watch Logan, and I can see that moment happen, and I'll still think that's Ryan Reynolds' little hand. That's how deluded I am.
Oh, this is so funny. Okay, I love you.
And I like that it actually could be. It could be Ryan Reynolds' little hand.
It's funny that it actually really could be. I love that they
revealed this by dropping a 100-foot poster. I love that the marketing was like, nobody knows. They somehow kept it under wraps in 2016, mm-hmm. and then it's just Hugh Jackman standing in front of the biggest poster ever, like, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way.
Here's a gift.
It's like
skibbity douche.
Love that.
So, along with that, The Wrap reported this week some spoilery kind of information. And I think it's not really spoilery at all, but they said that the actress Sienna Novikov is playing the role of Laura. She is described by the website as a two-clawed mutant who is a clone of Wolverine. She has a healing factor, super senses, speed, and reflexes, but they're just calling her Laura. She's not being called X-23.
Works for me.
Okay. Laura Kenny, right? I mean, come on. It's all
confirmation.
Yeah, it's all... it's according to The Wrap. For all we know, they heard it from a source who was an intern in an office 7 years ago. We have no idea who the source was. But The Wrap is a pretty reputable, source.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
And this all makes sense for what we've seen. So, reputable source giving us a rumor that makes sense in the context of the stuff that we've seen for this, I'm on board. They also say that Richard E. Grant is playing a gentleman by the name of Dr. Xander Rice. Xander Rice was the doctor behind X-23.
Right.
So that makes sense, too.
It all comes together.
Right?
And I think it's great that we have the option of having Wolverine's torch passed in a way that is both canon and supports us going in more of a multicultural, not just men as superheroes direction. It's hard for people to complain when it's both comics and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I hate that they're turning Iron Man into a girl. It's like, one, that's stupid. Two, it makes sense. Three, oh, wait, this is a character that's both Wolverine and a girl? Sign me up. I think it's perfect. Yeah.
This is all supposed to be taking place in 2024 when mutant births are in decline, so it's a bit sort of like that whole Messiah complex, all that stuff.
Little children of men.
Yeah. They're going to have an epic shot, where everyone's attacking the car and it never stops and it just pans. God, that shot though, man. Remember that? Oh yeah, my God. Beautiful. So good. Such a good movie. Haven't talked about that movie in a long time, but that's a good... What are you eating over there, Corey?
Eating Laffy Taffy?
I'm on a Laffy Taffy. I'm trying to be sneaky, but I'm failing hard.
You're failing terribly.
Oh, it's almost over.
For those of you not watching us on YouTube, you're listening on iTunes, Koi's over here eating gobs and gobs of Laffy Taffy.
The sounds you hear are sweet, delicious sugar and nectar and chemicals.
Quit smiling, you idiot. You're supposed to be a professional.
Koi's over here farting now.
You know what? This is what happens when Matt comes back. I'm fart. I can lean, relax.
There you go.
So lastly, though, and possibly the biggest news, is that Boyd Holbrook is playing Donald Pierce. None other than the cyborg from the Hellfire Club, Donald Pierce, after the Hellfire Club are defeated, in the sort of early 80s in that run of comics, when they first emerged with White Queen, they helped do that whole Dark Phoenix saga and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd Holbrook is playing Donald Pierce, who was one of those members. He later resurfaces with a group called the Reavers. The Reavers, we've already heard, are in this group. That's the dude with the tank and Lady Deathstrike as part of it. Yeah, they're super.
As we've learned from sci-fi, anything, if they're named the Reavers, they're bad guys.
Yeah, they're bad guys. They can't be good guys.
Oh, you Reave, you're a bad guy.
Yeah, I miss you, Wash.
One who Reaves can be no good guy. That was horribly worded. I impro. Bye.
Yes, and.
But the rap added to so there's Boyd Holbrook. But the rap added to that saying that Donald Pierce is the head of security for a global corporation known as Transgen. So we already knew that he was a security global corporation guy because that was came with his character description when Boyd Holbrook was first cast. But Transgen is new. So,
I also like the idea of Hellfire Club being even referenced or mentioned because I really wanted that show.
I really want Hellfire Club to make a comeback. That's one of my favorite X-Men villains is that
and,
whole
and like the
society.
Show I thought was a cool idea because it'd be like Mad Men meets X-Men, mm-hmm, and like mm-hmm. a sex swingers club of mutants is always like the right choice, I think.
Doom, I apologize to you. I sent you a picture of Instagram, but I didn't label it. So I think it's right there underneath. There you go. Yeah. If you could show that real quick. James Mangold, the director of the film, put that up on Instagram and just said Pierce. So that's
Donald, a confirmation.
That was a confirmation before the rap said mm-hmm. anything. Then the rap came out and said, hey, remember the. So he just said this. Well, we're going to release this information too. Cool. So. So that might be our very first look at Donald Pierce and Logan. So, okay. And he's
yeah, he looks like a total bad guy.
Yeah, he's a total bad guy.
Just from that silhouette.
But he's really strong and, like, you know, who knows what all kind of weird abilities are going to give him as a cyborg. So
yeah, I mean, sky's almost the limit on that one.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that with him being a cyborg, like, you know, Wolverine chops him up and he just goes and gets himself rebuilt and comes back.
Right, new pieces.
You know,
yeah.
Like with new pieces, worse pieces. He's like, you chop my arm off. That really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The pain sensors in my brain turned off the pain and I went and got a gun attached.
A red C-3PO arm.
Yes. Red C-3PO, yeah.
Because it's, you know, Disney. It's good.
Yeah, Fox. It's okay. Not Disney at all, actually. It's
Matthew confirmed that Avengers and X-Men were teaming up. So I think
I like that nerdish. Actually, no. No, it's not that.
I mean,
it's not that.
This guy Matthew read about on the internet said that Marvel and X-Men were back together. So I'm just going
that. That is not true. That is not true. You are a jerk. Do you guys want to say anything else about Logan before we move on?
I just think that you gave full credit to the marketing, which is, I think, the biggest news story to me is that they trust the everyday viewer enough to call a movie Logan, to put up a poster, and to just dive into the crazy, and I love that.
Well, I think it's kind of foolproof. I mean, at this point, they've had Wolverine for how many years?
Yeah.
So they know the clause. So they can just be like, hey, by the way, you don't remember, his name's Logan.
Yeah, his name's Logan.
This is it. You're good. Just see
this is all you need.
Now for the super nerds out there, they're all going, his name is not Logan. It's James Howlett.
There we go.
And you know what? Wolverine has adamantium claws, not bone claws. I refuse to accept that. My Wolverine's an adamantium man. It doesn't make sense. He's got healing factors. What part of the healing factor also causes, like, bone claw? Like, that doesn't even...
It's super growth. It's kind of like Mrs. Peregrine's School of Peculiar Children, where that one child can make everything grow.
I haven't seen that, but
adamantium makes sense.
Because it's layered on top. So then when he has the bones pop out and they're adamantium covered, it's kind of when you cover chocolate over hazelnut.
Right, no, I understand. But it makes more sense to, like, hey, I'm experimenting a mutant that has healing powers. I will add claws. Then genetically, hey, what if this guy that's healing matter also weirdly has these bone claws?
I mean, like, he also has, like, a super sense of smell. So we're working with multi-power set here.
That's true.
Point.
I'm going to take one away and say adamantium would make more sense to be an additive, not, like...
But that was the thing. Like, everyone thought that was added. That was the big reveal in the late 90s series, The Fatal Attractions, when Magneto sucked all the adamantium out of him.
That was horrifying.
Dude, when I read that as a kid, I was almost crying. I was like, how would you do that?
And then he went
and was like, how does he heal?
He stays a person, and then he had a silly ninja mask, and nobody, you retcon that hard. That's what you do. You get rid of that whole time, and Wolverine's a
brand new
character for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't speak of that.
Yeah, we don't speak of that.
We don't say
No, but like, he was born with the claw. That was the big reveal. That makes no sense.
He can track a mutant from miles away, but he doesn't have bone claws. That's where I stand.
Oh, well.
It makes no sense. In a world where men can shoot lasers out of their eyes, a man can't have bone claws.
Hop squall.
Oh, my goodness.
Daddy needs to express some rage.
All right, let's move on to Legion real quick. We know nothing about it yet, except that it looks great, and I'm still reading that series, and it's...
Right?
Coy was right. I'm going to say it here. Coy was right. Legion...
Best X-Men
is
in 10 years,
so good.
Probably.
It's so good. Is Cy Spurrier?
Spurrier.
I know the last name is Spurrier of the writer. It's great. Go read it.
Yeah. X-Men Legacy is 24 issues. It's a continuation.
I'm halfway through it right now.
It's like a commentary on, like, masculinity and psychosis, and it handles mental illness really well.
Exceptionally well. It's really well done. Anyway, the news here is that Noah Hawley tweeted out or Instagrammed a picture of Jermaine Clement saying, expect the unexpected, hashtag Legion, which is leading all of us to believe that Jermaine Clement has now joined the cast of Legion, which makes total sense to me. So, I don't think he...
Well, I enjoy him.
Yeah, and I don't know that he's going to be like a recognizable mutant or anything like that. I think he's just going to be like another. I think Legion David Haller is probably going to be the only real X-Men character that they really play with a whole lot for like a lot of the season. So that's the impression I'm getting anyway. All right, let's move on real quick. Do you guys have anything you want to add? No, we're good. Moving on.
Yeah.
That comes out sometime next year. The Wasp, not a movie. Ant-Man and the Wasp is the movie.
Yeah.
But Evangeline Lilly has confirmed that the Wasp will appear in the fourth Avengers film, the untitled Avengers film. This is because Marvel wants to give her own film before surprising everybody with her in Avengers 4. So Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out before Avengers 4, but after Avengers 3. So the third Avengers film comes out, Infinity War. Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out the year after that, and then she's going to be in the fourth Avengers film.
Interesting. Okay. So what does that mean for Ant-Man? I mean, he'll be in Avengers 3, but just without her, like he was in Civil War.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Well, he may not be in it.
Out of the two of them, I mean, it's the Wasp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If one of them has to sacrifice themselves for something or other, not the Wasp.
Please not the Wasp.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a female character. Kill her.
Gone away.
No.
God, I'm so excited for this.
I was waiting for Doom. Doom pop up there.
Doom, before I let you talk, let me read this quote real super fast. I can't remember who she was speaking with. Blaster. She says, following that one, referencing Infinity War, there's an Avengers series coming out. It's a two-parter. The Wasp won't be in the first part. She'll be in the second part because they really want to preserve that reveal for Ant-Man and the Wasp. So, there you go.
I've been wanting that from the beginning. That was my major flaw with Ant-Man. I enjoyed Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. It was a great comedy. It was fun. It was very different. But it was like, you know who could do this job? The Wasp.
Yeah.
Let me prove over and over again how much better she is. At the end, she won't be involved.
Yeah.
Like, why? The whole movie is just like, you know who's great? This girl. She'll be over there.
She'll be over there.
Yeah. Sitting, waiting around.
Training.
Yeah.
It's like, she'd make a great the Ant-Man. But, you know, she's having troubles with her dad and the mom thing. And it's like, so she won't do it.
I just want to see her own Scott. Like, I just want to see her come out and be like, oh, let me show you how to be a better Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and she totally will. And she can fly, which is great.
Right.
But, like,
And she's
Eventually
Lilly.
And then she'll have the stingers.
She's also Evangeline Lilly, which just gives her a lot of just awesome credit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I wonder if they'll do where she... I know it was like a rarely used thing where she had the prehensile. And now I'm going to control it. I don't think they'll do that.
I don't think they'll do that.
Because that was so rare.
All right.
I hope they don't. That'd be terrifying,
Doom, I promise to let you talk. Do you want to say anything?
This was like barely news. Like, look, she's going to be in a movie that we all expect.
I know. And honestly, like, Doom, the only reason I put this in the rundown was for you.
Yeah.
like I considered not putting it in. I was like, she's going to be, of course, she's going to be in the movie. We get it. We know that.
Captain America will be in the Avengers.
Yeah.
Matt Key confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, no, but you know what? Doom's going to want to talk about this, so it's in the rundown, of course.
I mean, like, literally, it's just, like, the same thing I always say. Like, I'm just excited to see them both on screen, because them as a duo is why I fell in love with these characters to begin with. So
yeah.
Them being together on screen is what I've been waiting for.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that you're getting that, Doom. I'm excited for you. We'll all go watch that movie and hold your hand. All right, so more Doom. Talking about Doom a little bit more.
Doom,
Doom, by the way, came into the studio today with this really sweet Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Jacket.
Oh, I wish we could. Oh, we should have taken a picture of that. Yeah. Put it on Twitter.
I'll be sending out a picture later tonight for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show.
We don't want to spoil it for his show.
Yeah,
we'll save it.
Right. It's a sweet ass jacket, though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
Especially made.
All right, so speaking of all that, Ghost Rider, Gabriel Luna, the actor who plays him, was speaking with IGN, and they asked him, is Ghost Rider going to have his own show? And his response was, there's been rumblings about that. It depends on how much you, the fans, love it. If you love it, we'll make it.
Is that your Ghost Rider voice?
Yeah, I don't know why. That's just the voice that I slipped into. Improv! very boring improv.
This guy's like, I'm half awake. And, you watch? Okay, good. I'm glad you're watching.
Maybe we'll do it. Maybe not. Whatever. But I'm gonna go drink some orange
juice. Burning
later.
Your head on fire costs a lot of calories. I'm just exhausted.
But he went on to say, to kind of like play around with that idea. And he said, oh, what if we go out west? Palm trees, beaches, bikinis. You got this kid from Hill Rock Heights who's a legend in his neighborhood. As more people become aware of him, what happens then? I think there's a lot of bad dudes that we can clean up with the Ghost Rider on our side. So,
did you see that amazing video of them at New York Comic Con?
Yes,
the with cutest. It,
like all the yeah. costumes. Oh, so
Coulson as Ghost Rider and Ghost Rider. It's adorable.
Yeah, as Star Lord, and then Chloe Bennett was a Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. Yeah, it's adorable.
It was great. Mm-hmm. Doom, is there anything you want to add to the Ghost Rider stuff?
Not really. It makes sense. He's a very popular character to the point where they started the season off with him. Still remains to be seen. But it makes sense. I mean, with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. getting pushed to the 10 o'clock time slot, they've been able to go a lot darker. I think ABC, they have not had a breakout hit yet mm-hmm. this year. And if they think Ghost Rider could be a breakout hit next year, I don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't go for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, and I feel like ABC and Marvel are probably both looking for their next Marvel series, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is what, fourth season? Like, they'll be lucky to get it, like, a fifth season? Like, that's...
Yeah, and they've already started
pretty much it, right? So, like, they've got to be looking for their next series.
And another couple shows have already stopped. Like,
that's
never aired.
True.
We had the Patrol, and then what was it called?
Oh, yeah,
what was that other one?
Most Wanted. What's the one? The Cleanup Crew guys.
Damage Control.
Damage Control. There it is.
Yeah.
That's the word.
The one that actually had a decent chance of going.
Yeah. Damage Control is officially still in development. Okay. They haven't said that it's been shelved, but I think they're waiting to see what happens to Powerless.
Yeah, that's...
Because they're
a little
too close, I think. NBC sort of just beat them to the punch, so right. they're mm-hmm. hanging back and letting that sort of play its
which by the way is strangely frustrating to me, and I know that that's exceptionally not fair, but it's so frustrating to me that like NBC and DC beat them to the punch, because like there isn't this team in DC, as far as I know, really doesn't exist, but like mm-hmm. Damage Control was started in the late 80s. What was the name of the writer? It's a weird long name.
Do you know?
Complete, like, Swirinski or something. Like, completely blanking on it for now. Cameras will do that to you, kids. I'm nervous.
It was created by Dwayne McDuffie and Ernie Colon.
Dwayne McDuffie. All right, so it's not a big long name, but I was like...
Colon McDuffie.
Both of their names together.
Colon McDuffie! And McDuffie, I think, is actually, like, the father to Jordan... Key and Peele. Why am I?
Oh, no way.
What?
I think so.
Whoa.
I think Dwayne McDuffie is like the father to
one of those two guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
It's a lot of creative in that family.
Right. And he passed away and it was really sad and everything. But like he created Damage Control and in the late 80s, like soon after, I think, Watchmen, because like that's when like all this like deconstruction of comics was happening. Like, wait, this isn't like what we've been reading for the last like 50 years. Actually, what's going on is insane. We can have fun with the reality of this.
Right.
And like,
right.
So that's what Damage Control was. So for ABC and Marvel to be like, oh my God, Damage Control, yes. It felt like DC was like, Powerless, we'll do it too. And I know I'm being so unfair because
Disney
they were
the same thing.
Disney does that. Yeah.
I didn't realize this until recently though. Like Fables, like Disney bought Fables, and I love Fables.
Yeah,
who
and
doesn't it's love Fables?
And then they're like, but what if we do it with Disney characters and call it Once Upon a Time?
Yeah, and then they like held the rights, developed their own show, released the rights as Once Upon a Time is coming out, and they're like, well, now you can't do Fables.
What a crazy thing! So it's like both sides are guilty. I give full credit.
No, I totally get it, and I don't blame NBC. I don't blame DC. And I don't know DC as well. Maybe they have their own team too. But all I know is that Marvel did it first, and it's frustrating to me to see that thing
get held.
I wanted to see Damage Control. Why
Warner
are you
Brothers,
ruining
Disney,
this?
Play nice.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Right.
They don't
love
have to.
And again, I know I'm being very unfair, and you can rage at me on Twitter all you want. But I am very aware of how dumb and petty that it actually is. So.
Did you hear that there was speculation over Blade? Being turned into something, but it looks like that's not
true.
Yeah,
Kate Beckinsale was the source.
I saw that and I was like, I don't know if we need to talk about
it.
I love that
all vampires hang out together. Like, I really think Blade's next. And she's like, yeah, I think
it's like,
so.
We were hanging out at the club,
that
not drinking blood.
The story was that they wanted to do a Blade Underworld crossover, and Marvel was just like, no.
The only way we're going to make Underworld awesome. 19 is if Blade's in it. She's like, I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, let's move on to The Punisher real quick, where we found out this week that Deborah Ann Woll is confirmed to be in the series. We don't know how much. Don't know if she's a regular in it, if she's in the whole season, or just in a couple episodes. But we had this picture taken by First Look on Twitter. And then they announced her, like, 100%, yes, she is absolutely positively in the series at New York Comic Con during the giant Netflix Marvel panel that they did.
Yeah, he's got that same manicured beard.
That's what negates my whole theory about the flashbacks, because she's in it.
Yeah, so that's the beard.
Doesn't negate anything. Like, we can still do flashbacks.
Yeah, but she would have met him with... This implies it's post-Daredevil, because they've met.
No, it is post-Daredevil, so but they can still do flashbacks the same way that they did with Luke Cage.
I'm saying flashbacks to before Daredevil, though. I'm saying the beard would have been pre-Punisher. I'm saying, like, back when he was...
Oh, gotcha.
So
okay.
I'm saying that can't be a thing now, because she's in it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
my beard theory is negated. That's, what I'm saying. That's how I feel about the theory.
Stop
that's how
farting.
I feel about it.
Oh, poor Koi boy. Poor CB over here. Poor Koi boy. But... Bigger news, and well, I mean, that's pretty big news, but I think the even bigger news is that they announced three different characters also populating the Punisher universe of Netflix. One of the biggest roles... No, you know what? Let's start with this one. Actress Amber Rose Reva, I want to make sure I try to pronounce it correctly, from Indian Summers and Son of God, neither of which I've seen, is playing a role created for the series... named Agent Dinah Madani, and she is described as a highly trained, sophisticated Homeland Security agent who is vexed by the Punisher.
Vexed. Interesting.
Vexed. Okay. Vexed, that word, that verb, to me communicates she's not against him.
Right.
She's a possible ally, but she's... I feel like they have an accord.
I've
got to stop you. Wait, I see what you're doing. Now I'm on your side. I feel like that's what's going to be her
character. Like even to the point of, okay, I have you. All right, run, because they're coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She's going to Black Widow like the Captain America and Winter Soldier. Next. She's going to be like... Man. She's going to be like... Holding down like, the vision or whatever. Yeah, like shooting him or whatever.
That word, I think, is very key. That verb.
Or like Misty Knight warning Luke Cage.
Like in code. Like
be like, hey, so you're going to this place this way. Don't try anything on the way there.
Yeah, exactly.
That wasn't a spoiler. That was
so
vague.
That was very vague if you haven't seen that.
But if you have seen it, then you know.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, how dare you? You've had 2 weeks.
We waited. We gave up non-spoiler and spoiler-filled versions.
Yeah.
Did you really?
We gave both. That's right.
We did. We waited. We turned lights on. We made it a whole thing.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was real hard.
Yeah. And we kept it. We pared it down to like, it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe. 15.
Out of 13 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So after that, we've got actress from, or actor from Girls named Ebon Moss Bachrach playing the role of Micro.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Right? Oh man, I forgot to get their character description for him. Let me see if I can find that real quick while we're talking. Micro is like, I've always seen Micro as sort of the same way Weasel is to Deadpool.
Yeah.
He's like, if Punisher has a best friend,
it's a friend. Like, that's the only thing he has.
Yeah. Post becoming Punisher, it's Micro.
Right.
Yeah, he supplies friendship and technology.
Yeah, and like he helps him like find like the plans. Like he is the Ving Rhames to Tom Cruise. Like he's the guy in the van who's like, no, you got to run around the corner. Wait, don't go now. Yeah. Don't go now. There's men coming.
Hopefully he'll
be comic relief like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Ebon Moss Bachrach looks the part. Like I know I sent in pictures, but I forgot to label it Doom. I'm so, so sorry. I fell asleep this week.
Blown from Doctor Strange.
That's true.
Very honestly, when you guys get to the Doctor Strange, there he is. That's the guy playing Micro.
Oh, that place. Yeah, I see that.
Right? Like, I totally see that.
That guy's in a van.
Yeah. That guy's totally in a van. Yeah.
That background is a van.
I like that. That guy's in the van.
Like, I see it.
There he is.
All right, so I found the description. Micro is a former NSA analyst whose secrets may be of great value to Frank Castle and everyone around them. Okay. So, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I wasn't as... I'm looking at some of the Micro stuff, and it's like, oh man, some stuff happens to him. I don't want to look anymore.
No, he'll have a big arc.
I think he'll have a giant arc.
I'm not
looking
at that. I want to read that.
But here's the big one to me. Like, Mike, we knew Micro was coming.
Right.
The big one to me is actor Ben Barnes, this gentleman right here.
So handsome.
So, like,
he is not in the van, by the way.
No, he's not in the van. No.
He's
the guy that walks by the van and makes the guy in the van question himself.
Man,
he's
like, van.
Oh, he is very handsome.
Everything led to this moment.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't wait until they mess up that pretty face.
No, exactly. That's where we're going. So Ben Barnes was a ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Originally said to be playing Bobby Saint. He's not playing Bobby Saint. Thank God he's not playing Bobby Saint. He is playing Billy Russo. Billy Russo, according to Marvel, is described as Frank Castle's best friend from his days in the Special Forces. He runs a successful private military corporation called Anvil.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, that I don't believe is from the comics. I don't know that they had any interaction. Like, maybe I missed some, like, smaller pocket stories or whatever.
I think it was retroactively canon. Yeah. I think they probably did, like, a flashback.
But originally, Billy Russo was, like, a hitman for the Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
And after the Mafia failed to kill Frank Castle the first time, they send Billy Russo after him. Billy Russo is an incredibly handsome guy. Everyone is like, oh, that Billy Russo, though. Like, everyone's like all about the Billy Russo until Punisher throws him through a pane glass window and decimates his face.
Yeah.
And he becomes Jigsaw, and he's got an absolute vendetta.
He was the
Punisher
only person
now.
I wanted from the beginning. Jigsaw was like the main villain I wanted, because they've half done him in every movie.
Well,
and, like,
but he's like,
Jigsaw-ish.
He's basically like the big
right.
Yeah, he's the
Punisher arch.
He's the
Lex Luthor.
Yeah. I don't know if the two of y'all or anybody who's, like, watching, an original Gray Box Nintendo, when you played The Punisher, which is basically...
I've never played The Punisher video game.
Yeah, it's like a side-scrolling first-person shooter.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's
I know exactly
so
what you're talking
hard.
About.
It's so hard, and Jigsaw is one of the, like... I think he's, like... I can't remember. I think he's, like, the last bad guy, and he's ridiculous. I never beat him. It's a ridiculous game.
You just became infinitely cooler. That, like,
I can talk about video games all
no
day,
I know, but that's just, like, I don't know, that's so cool to me. I'm just like, oh, I love you now, let's talk video games.
We can always talk video games.
JRDZ3EP in the live chat asked, he's been done before. Yeah, in the Tom Jane movie, the Russian was a kind of a mix between the Russian and Jigsaw with what they did to his face, and I felt like that was them, like, nodding towards Jigsaw.
Yeah.
I don't consider them having done Jigsaw before, but I think that when I watched those movies, I was like, oh, Jigsaw. So I'm really glad they're going full Jigsaw.
Yeah, and I feel
like... Which is like going full Monty with your face.
Oh,
full Monty.
Oh, no.
Quote of the day. Quote of the day. Someone hashtag that. Going full Monty with your face. Someone hashtag that. Like, it's so hard to do. Twitter, put a hashtag, write a thing without spaces.
That number symbol from Matt Keys Day when dial tones were around is how you hashtag.
Back
someone,
in Matt Keys Day.
Someone help him hashtag.
Back in Matt Keys Day when we got our money through water. We had a pan for it.
Oh, goodness.
And we liked it.
And we liked it.
Oh,
oh man.
I stole that from the great Dana Carvey.
Oh, and he was in Punisher Warzone, and I want to say before we move on from Blade Punisher, the amazing director of Punisher Warzone has said that she would love to be involved in a Blade show, and
God,
she would just
love to have her
kill
involved.
That.
Yeah.
Because she, like, has a martial arts background. She's a brilliant director. Mm-hmm. She cares about the source material. She cares about comics. I would love
and
her.
She's, like, a great TV director. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's worked on so many great shows. So
if there's anyone watching that has any power whatsoever, please, please have her involved with Blade.
Yeah, or The Punisher. Like, she would be great
absolutely.
For The Punisher.
Yeah,
like, they should absolutely pull her in to help develop the series and direct a couple episodes. Anyway, all right, more giant big news out of New York Comic Con. This was some of my favorite news to hit because I got tweeted, or texted. Alan Kistler and Matt Cook both started texting me at the exact same time on Saturday, going, "Oh my God, Sigourney Weaver's in the Defenders!"
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh my God, I love that! I live in a world where people are." Like, good, excellent, wonderful friends of mine who are also good, wonderful, just people in their own right are texting me like, Sigourney Weaver is Defenders villain! Like, oh my God, what a good life we live, everybody. All right, so they announced that, but that's all they announced. And then they went a whole day before saying, oh, by the way, she's the villain.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, Sigourney Weaver as a villain and a defender, I can't. Like, she's one of the greats.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the absolute greats.
She's the queen of sci-fi.
Well, we talked about last week. We were saying that it'd be great to have her as one of the elders. We couldn't figure out where she was involved.
Oh,
exactly.
We were theorizing that she'd be in Thor because of the timing.
Yeah.
You know,
and then I was like,
be like
she's got to
be Thor's original mother, you know.
Yeah.
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 Because she's that God. Level, that caliber. So I was like, she has to be an elder. And then this to be like, oh, by the way.
Yeah. Right? And it was all because of what she said. It was like, oh, for whatever reason, I'm watching a lot of Marvel movies. You know, they cast really good actors in that. And they're like, why did you say that?
Yeah. And now to lead up from four series that are like 13 hours long, only someone with the caliber of Sigourney Weaver could be worthy of that much buildup. Well, you know what I mean?
Like, and like, consider the villains. Like
right, she has to follow
Marvel having like their villain problems, and they have, they certainly have, but like Netflix has not. Like Netflix is like, oh, villain problems, like they're some of the best characters in our
they're equal measure to our heroes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you follow that up? Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And so, do that whole two villain thing.
They'll probably
been
do the
doing.
Whole two villain thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's with Sigourney though? Like when the when you're leading up, like who's the second villain of Sigourney freaking?
No,
Weaver?
No, yeah. They'll be the opening act. You wouldn't have wait. No, Sigourney.
I mean?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Who's because they unveiled her, she wouldn't be the second villain.
So who's up to snuff with that? Like Anthony Hopkins is already in the movies. Like you got Jeff Goldblum's already involved. Like what actor?
Dan Aykroyd.
The mighty. No. You know who?
Bill Murray. Foster. Oh my God. Oh my
As
God.
As a villain?
If they brought As Bill Murray into Marvel in any capacity.
That's it for Matt. That's it.
Like if they found a way to put Bill Murray into the Doctor Strange movie,
man,
I would create another dimension in and of myself. I would fold in on myself. And exist as a singularity in the seat where I first saw it.
Wow.
Like, I would haunt that movie theater.
Forever.
Forever. Like, they would demolish it and be like, well, we're trying to tear down this multiplex, but this one theater just will not fall.
Leave.
Like, no, the theater, it won't fall. Like, there's some spirit keeping it up.
Bill Murray.
Oh, my God. I would die. I would freaking die.
Ghost Hunters would be there, like, with the thing. There's, like, there's a guy. He looks like he's watching a movie.
He just keeps chanting Murray.
Murray, strange. Murray. Wow, you can't. It's the weirdest thing. But here's the big question. Who's Sigourney Weaver playing?
Oh, well.
Do you guys have speculation?
Well, there was a lot of speculation online. Of course, like, I'm going to say this wrong. Mephisto.
Yeah, Mephisto. I've always said Mephisto.
Mephisto.
Mine's very Punisher based, but that also makes her street based. But I'd love if she was Manyoki.
I don't know Manyoki. Educate me, Koi.
Now, she is the leader of a crime family. Mm-hmm. The Gnocchi, I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's G N U C C I. Gnocchi, Nucci.
Say it again.
G N U C C I, I believe, is the spelling.
Like, probably Gnocchi.
Gnocchi. So she's the leader of like this crime family.
Is that like
family.
A pasta?
Yeah, it is. It's an
Italian. But the pasta is spelled with an O. It's Gnocchi.
So I'm probably spelling on writing all this wrong, but I remember the character well. It was when Dylan was drawing Punisher, and I think Ellis was writing, and she's like the leader of this crime syndicate family that actually is able to give Punisher a hard time. So a strong enough family that they can rival that. So if they go a very street level, very normal route, I'd say, yeah, that's the character.
Oh, yeah. So now I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
That would be one way to go. The way I'm afraid of them going is her being a villain in the sense that she's like a legislative figure where they're like, these street level vigilantes gotta go to jail. And they're like, Sigourney Weaver's like in a courtroom the whole time. I hope they don't go that way. I want her like full villain.
Yeah.
Those are my two theories.
Comic book movie had their six choices that they think she could be playing, and it was actually really solid. Like, because
I like their first choice, but yeah.
Who was their first choice again?
Viper.
Oh, well, Viper like would be good. Yeah. I just fear that like maybe that's too related to Hydra for Netflix because they really haven't done anything with Hydra at all.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. Like maybe that's how they combine everything. Like Jeff Loeb for years has been. It's all connected. Like, maybe they haven't had, like, this giant master plan.
Now, I have two different villains if they're connected.
Yeah.
If they're connected, I'd love to see her as Abigail Brand.
Because she's not really a villain, though.
No, but imagine, like, someone that's, like, trying to rein in the street by being a space, like, cop. Like, they if they bring in that. Or
Morgan, sold, space cop.
Morgan Le Fay.
Oh, dude.
Interesting.
Oh, dude.
That's my big one if they're connected.
Oh, dude. Morgan Le Fay?
She'd be amazing.
Oh.
Like a sorceress Sigourney Weaver?
Oh my God.
Like Doctor Doom
still
of evil?
Be a badass?
You just
more evil?
Killed me.
Man.
Morgan Le Fay. Like Lady Doctor Doom, effectively?
Oh my God. Doom, yeah.
Those are my two if they go that way.
You wouldn't mind that, right, Doom? Lady Doom?
I mean, no. My theory, at the bottom of that pit that we saw in Daredevil Season 2, Sigourney Weaver is Fin Fang Foom.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Hey, she could do it.
She could do it.
She could do anything.
She could do it.
She's a brilliant voiceover actress. Sigourney Weaver.
So
mocap Sigourney Weaver.
Here's a couple of my theories. If she's Mephisto or the Beast of the Hand, she's possessing someone. And I want to see a scene where she's kind of floating and she goes, "There is no Dana, there is only Mephisto."
Of course, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I want to see that.
And then Bill Murray comes in.
And then Bill Murray comes in,
of course.
And he's like, "Don't worry, Defenders, I've got this." Just like, and he zaps her.
Man.
Dan Aykroyd comes running in, throws the ghost trap.
All of our ghosts can't.
The actual ghost of Harold Ramis comes in.
Oh,
I know.
Aww. Yeah. One of the other ones that they had was it the lead of IGH,
the CEO of IGH.
CEO IGH. So that's possible.
I think is a very solid choice. IGH is 100% behind Jessica Jones and Will Travol as a Frank Simpson as a Will Simpson. I can't remember the guy who becomes Nuke.
It's Will Simpson.
Oh,
Will
yeah.
Simpson. So they're definitely behind those two. It's entirely possible that they were funding the experiments that created Luke Cage. We just haven't had that, but you could see where that would happen, right?
Was IGH also on the barrels that got Daredevil?
Rand that's what I was actually building.
It was Roxxon.
It was Rand.
Oh, it was Rand.
Mm. It was Rand. It was 100%. You can go Google it. I'm 100% correct.
Yeah. It definitely makes sense.
I will give you a dollar if I'm wrong.
It makes sense for everyone.
Everyone.
No.
It makes sense that it's Rand.
Everyone listening. Oh, my God. I can't get married. I'm so sorry, Brittany. how crazy would that be? We see Iron Fist come out, and then we discover that Rand, since the departure of Danny Rand, and he becomes kind of under the control of, well, Wendell Rand, but it comes under the control of Harold Meacham, is now, like, under the table dealing with IGH.
Is that Mel Gibson?
No.
Our screen is dark here. My first thought was
that would be
Gibson.
My Bill Murray. If Mel Gibson's in the Marvel Universe, that's me haunting that theater. He's being like, it happened, it's real. I watched Bloodfather the whole time. I was like, this is old man Logan. And then I was just like, I'm here now.
But I think that her being the CEO of IGH would be really cool. And that, I think Comic Book Movie said it really well, where they would say, like, she is working with the Hand to help them create, like, super warrior ninjas.
Cool.
You know, and then they're the ones who are taking over the city, and that's why all four of the Defenders have to get together to be like, well, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
It would make sense because you have the Hand and then CEO of IGH.
And like Sigourney Weaver can play the hell out of that role.
I just love that Sigourney Weaver's like career resurgence, like Cabin in the Woods on, has been like this behind the like scenes pulling strings.
Yeah.
Even in
Finding
Dory.
Yeah.
She's pulling strings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
I'm Sigourney Weaver.
But I love that idea though. I really do also love the idea that she's like a normal woman who becomes possessed by Mephisto or the Beast of the Hand. So
yeah,
I'm on board for all of that stuff. Anyway, let's move on to Black Panther, which was announced last week. He has been added to the cast. I did not necessarily see the casting information, but Markia did.
Yeah, and Doom did also. There were two different sites that were definitely said that Forest Whitaker is cast as Zuri.
Zuri.
And he is basically... he's like, oh, perfect picture.
Right, isn't that a good picture?
Like a substitute father figure, you know, elder
for
type
T'Challa.
Of counselor for T'Challa. Yeah, that. Yes, that's what Forrest Whitaker's going to look like.
Yeah, he's working out.
He's working out hard. Yeah. He's going for it.
Which
I
makes
I
total sense.
I almost an image of him from Ghost Dog. Where the samurai was like, I'm going to do that. Nah, better not. That's a little too jokey.
But yeah, he's like a counselor and just... Like I said, substitute father to T'Challa. You know, they deal in land skirmishes together. I mean, I could go further into his storyline so you know what ends up happening with him. But we don't know if they're going to do that.
We don't even know
if Moreland's going to be part of, you know, this particular thing.
Moreland.
So
I just love... I mean, is there an actor they haven't cast that I want to see in Black Panther? Like, every so often I'm like, oh, they're still... They cast someone else? They, like, find more actors that I love. It's amazing.
Can't wait. And that's 2018, right? That's February of 2018, so that'll start shooting next year.
Yeah, so long from now.
I know. I feel your pain. You're at the place I was a couple years ago.
When the show started.
No.
Like, with Doctor Strange. Like, when the show started, I was like, 2 years? How will I ever make it?
Deadpool was 11 years. Yeah. That movie started and stopped for 11
that's
years.
True. That's
for
very
nine
true.
Of those, I followed it, going like, maybe, yes, no, yes.
Ant-Man was in development before Iron Man.
I think Doom wins the one-up competition of sadness.
that's another good hashtag. You're just hashtagging the hell out of the show today, Koi Boy.
Tweets.
All right. Do you want to... I am not as familiar with Zuri. I am reading the Christopher Priest run of Black Panther, and it's fantastic. If you're not reading it, if you're not reading it right now, how dare you?
Then read it.
Like, read it at some point. It's absolutely great. But is there anything else you want to say about Zuri, or is it like too spoilery to say anything else beyond like his basic role in Wakanda?
Well, it's not necessarily too spoilery. I mean, it's basically exactly. This is a perfect casting, really, for this character.
It really is.
I mean, I could go into like specifics of like Zuri. He does fight Thor, for instance. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to. You already know who this gruff. I'm here for you, but I will spank that butt when you get out of line. Because for what it seems like with like what we saw with like Civil War, mm-hmm. I mean, T'Challa's at this point where he's being a leader, but he's also got a whole lot of other things going, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and depending on how they were saying where they're going to have outside forces and inside forces going against him, he's going to have a lot on his plate. So then you have this type of counselor father figure that Zuri is, where he's also gruff and he's not going to take it, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, this is perfect. I can't imagine anybody else that they could have had for this character.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and that's with, like, I have a basic knowledge of him. Like, when you told me about him, like, I didn't know Zuri was the casting before the show. And you told me, I was like, wait, Zuri. And then, like, I started to recollect a little bit.
And then
bit.
You're like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Like, that guy. Yeah. So, like, but that's my recollection of it. You have a much better knowledge of him. Yeah, even with that, I was like, of course it's Forrest Whitaker. Of course it is.
Who else could it be?
All right. Doom, do you want to talk about Ancestor's Shield? I know that we didn't have an episode last week.
But there is some news.
Jesus Christ. Sorry. You give yourself your own soundtrack.
I mean, I have that power.
He has the power. It's
fair. You are Doom.
But the big news this week, just that there's some rumors about a Netflix Agents of Shield crossover that supposedly... I think using the Punisher's actual like filming as a cover, they shot some stuff for Punisher into S.H.I.E.L.D. this season.
God, that would be so cool. That would be so cool to
Jeff
see
Loeb's
Punisher.
Jeff Loeb's sort of been teasing it. He had a bunch of people on stage, including like Jerry Dugan and Gabriel Luna, and said, you'll understand soon why all of these people being on stage together makes sense.
Oh, yeah, and wasn't Jerry Conway was up there too, right? Yeah. Like the guy who created the Punisher, yeah.
So we're waiting to see what that happens, but supposedly before the end of the season, we will get a Netflix crossover with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. New episode tonight, and with this whole global blackout. And if you tune into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show tonight, we're gonna have a phone call interview with the costume designer.
Nice, that's
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
awesome.
Ann Foley, and so she's gonna talk to us about Quake's evolution. Through her iterations throughout the show and creating of the Ghost Rider costume for this season. So tune in. We're going to be on at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Wow.
And that's you.
Good you, music, too. And
yeah.
Nice.
That music, though.
Good plug.
Yeah.
It's good plug. Cool. And Merry Marvelites, I hope that you can appreciate the hard work that we do. That's not what I was going to say. It just sounded so pompous as it was coming out of my mouth. So I had to make fun of myself. But we are trying to give Doom his own Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like little plug in every single episode. So because he like
it's his Deadpool.
It's his Deadpool. And like, you know, it's like it's one of those things where I'm like, as I put the rundown together, I recognize what you guys love. And I'm like, well, I want to hear my kid talk about Black Panther all day long. Like, and I can imagine that the fans do, you know, and like you with Deadpool and Spider-Man. And, you know, so I'm trying to give Doom his own little every single week. He gets his own little corner.
I think it's also very indicative of personalities. You know, I like that each of our characters is like a part of us that like it's interesting how when people pick their favorite character and follow through. Mm-hmm. And like I always said, like you either, you know, live long enough to see yourself become a Deadpool or die Spider-Man. Like you've got this thing, you know, like like I think I like outgrew the responsibility thing. I'm like, what if crazy?
And you then are like, a quote machine.
And now Spider-Man's coming back, and that, I don't know. It's cool and like you know a regalness and like a responsibility, and, like a noble quality.
Yeah,
and, like,
that
full magic crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like
full on magic crazy.
You know what I mean? Like everyone's got their own little corner.
I get it.
In Matt's case, he just looks the part, so it was a requirement.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, genetically, Matt was born with that facial hair.
I was born. This is how I came out of the womb. with gray in my temples.
I've never
and
seen otherwise. No, no. I have no proof of it.
Yeah. My mom was like, he's already so old.
So strange.
So strange, maybe. I don't know why my mom sounds like that, but that's how she sounds. No, you know, it's fun. Joseph Scrimshaw, who's been on our show a couple times, and he used to do the Jedi show here. He does a podcast called Obsessed. And he had me on his show a couple days ago to talk about Doctor Strange. And that'll mm-hmm. come out in a couple weeks. But, like, I realized, like, in talking about it, like, I've never vocalized why and how I fell in love with Doctor Strange when I was a kid. But it comes from, I was not a very athletic child. So I had mm-hmm. a hard time relating to Spider-Man jumping around and swinging from buildings. I loved it, but mm-hmm. it wasn't me. And, like, Captain America throwing his mighty shield and Thor, like, hurling his hammer. Like, I couldn't relate to any of those. I was the kid who liked to sit inside and read encyclopedias, and I saw Doctor Strange doing that, and I was like, that's my guy. Because, like, his power comes from his knowledge and his capacity to remember things and to practice things and to meditate on things. And mm-hmm. so, like, going along with what you're saying, it's like, yeah, that's, I think that's kind of me. I can talk in social circles and hold my own, but, like, at the end of the day, I just want to go home and read a book.
Right, right.
You know, so.
I think it's awesome that everybody has something to identify with, and that's the beauty of comics. And that's why I don't give DC any guff. Like, a lot of, like, there shouldn't be a divide between comics. It's just who you identify with. Yeah. Like, if you identify with Superman, love Superman. If you identify with Batman, I hope you seek help and also love Batman.
I tend to
gravitate towards characters that kind of have greatness forced upon them, mm-hmm. but then make those choices to use that. So, like, you know, Luke Cage or Black mm-hmm. Panther, where he's like, he's born into a royal family, but he still has to earn the Black Panther mantle. And he has to be in that mindset to even want to go after it because, you know, goodness knows he's got a younger sister that's like, hey, I'll do it. I can totally do that all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Have to go off into this, like, quest, like, thing to meet the love of his life mm-hmm. and then for them to fall apart based on ideologies. It's just like, I was like, I'm on board for this. just having greatness forced upon them for them to be an other type of character, mm-hmm. But then to, like, rise to the occasion. I'm a sucker for that all day.
Yeah, and Coy just loves making fun of people.
Hiding behind snark and also being funny but responsible is interesting. Like, Spider-Man is a man of responsibility that hides behind his humor and has to deal with, like, the things, and he has a lot of weight on him. Deadpool, however, is a guy that's full-fledged crazy and also gets to, like, they're so similar but different that it's interesting as you evolve between characters.
Yeah, all right, we've got to move on because we're almost an hour in and we still need to talk Iron Fist and Doctor Strange. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, the big news?
The big news. Yes. Yeah, we haven't even got to the big news yet. Oh, my God.
Well, this
was
right after New York Comic Con. You know,
it's hard.
There's so much.
It's dense.
I'm very bad at this.
No,
dude. I'm very bad at keeping the time.
That's why 288 people are watching the show.
I should be like, guys, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Like, I'm such a bad time manager. All right.
Okay. So
Iron Fist trailer dropped at New York Comic Con. Oh my God, you guys! I'm so excited for this. I'm so, like, other than, like, the weird kind of close-up, like, zoom-in of the tattoo at the end, where I was like, that tattoo is awesome! Those are Finn Jones' nipples! Like, other than that, like, the trailer was, like, killed me. Like, and killed me in the best way. Like, I loved it. And I was on board all the way. I was like, yeah, Iron Fist, this is awesome. But then, like, a minute in, they do that shot where he, like...
You see the hand.
He charges the hand and it's glowing. Like, it wasn't just, like, they put...
There
you
we
like,
go.
You can see, like, the chi inside, like, growing out, and, like, you can hear it charging, and I'm just like, yeah, now I'm super on board. Like, I want this yesterday just because of that. Like, they gave that to all the nerds in the world. Uh-huh. Like, that's enough.
And they waited till the fourth show. That is so smart. They waited until Netflix is so smart. We got a glowy hand guy. Cool.
Like, it's so smart. Like, they scheduled this stuff so smartly because they're like, Daredevil's the one that they know. That's got to be the bandwagon. We've got to start with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Jones is the one that hardly anyone knows, but we love her, and she's awesome, and you're going to love her, too. Yeah. So,
and then it's like the escalation of power, too, was very smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. They did it so smartly.
Then Luke Cage.
And then, he's like bulletproof, and it's like, oh, here's the powerhouse. And then it's like, but wait. There's a dude who can charge his fist, like, with magic, like...
And we've laid Easter eggs the whole way, so it doesn't feel out of left field.
Yeah,
like, we've sprinkled in some Iron Fist.
Yeah, oh my God.
Let you know what we're kind of thinking, and you thinking too.
And you've already seen a guy, like, crush a dude to the door and then fight guys through a hallway, and
I can't wait for this guy's hallway fight.
This hallway fight, like, he's in a suit, and he's got white sneakers on, and I'm like... that dude just got out of a meeting and he's kicking some ass.
I want to go back to 2012 and tell 2012 me, like, you know how important hallways are going to be to you?
Like, I want to just go back. Wait. Spit tape.
Do you guys think that they legit? Oh my god,
you almost made me. I'm sorry, Doom. Corey almost made me spit my coffee. All right. Sorry, Doom. Go ahead and say what you were going to say now.
Do you guys think they sat down when they're writing Iron Fist and like, well, we got to put something in a hallway?
Oh, I guarantee. Right? Like, ever since Old Boys Daredevil scene, they were like, yeah. Well, our brand's hallways. All right, cool. Like, that's a good brand. Let's do it.
Like, hallway fight.
And shout out to Ninja Brewski, man. Chris, you that hallway, thank you.
Was that him? Again, probably?
Chris was the
Well, I know he was the Daredevil one, but was this him also?
I'm going to assume anytime there's a ninja, it's Ninja Brewski, because that guy ninja can Brewski, do no wrong.
We've got to get him on the show.
Yeah, man, he's just so good.
All right, so...
Yeah, they've laid the way for Misty Knight.
Because
we have Colleen Wing. Yes.
Oh my god, Colleen Wing looks so good in this.
Yes.
Jessica
she's got
Henwick,
she's got the all-white outfit going on. I'm like, I'm on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's let her sword do the talking.
Oh my god, she's got the katana like on her back. She like walks out. Now here, this picture right here. Go. Now when
she doesn't have all white in this, but you get
when,
it.
When we see her though, the voiceover says is talking about like you will have enemies from all sides. Some of them will be friends. Some of them will be strangers that slip by you. And then they show her. I think Colleen Wing will probably start off as in a bit more of an adversarial role.
I could see that.
She'd
be like, what do
Danny
you
Rand?
Think you're doing?
Yeah, and then, like, there's the all-white.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yes, all right.
Love that.
Oh, my God. And she's in, like, a fighting ring. Like, she's doing, like,
heck
illegal
yeah.
MMA fighting. And some of this, they showed a couple scenes at New York Comic Con, and one of the scenes said that this was a very bloody, very brutal fight. Like, they described that scene in the cage fight. And she apparently just, like the... She's fighting two giant thugs, and they're like, "You really think you can take us?" And she's like, "Crack, crack," and just like whips their ass. And like, apparently, there's one scene where she just like throws a dude into the gate, and he's like, bloody unconscious.
Nice.
Swan Pride in the live chat has a good point. She said, "I hope Danny will be more optimistic character to counterpoint the others a bit." I agree.
Yeah,
and he is. He's a funny, lively. He brings Luke Cage up a couple notches into like the world, and I love the idea of that. So good call, Swan
and
Pride.
He's a really good counterpart for Misty that way.
Oh,
God, she needs some lightening up.
Oh my god. And I hope that they play with that relationship. I hope that when they meet, they're like, oh, hello, like, I kind of like you too. Like, I really hope that they do
I think she'll be like, well, no, they might go out and get coffee. Who knows? Who
knows? Let's hope.
Let's hope they go get coffee. God, that was one of the best jokes, running gags in all of Luke Cage. There's like, say the coffee. Like, go get coffee with her.
Everybody gets coffee. You get a coffee.
You get coffee. Everyone gets coffee.
Oprah shows up. She's like, coffee for everybody.
She doesn't get the joke, so she doesn't realize what she's doing.
Oh, no.
So one of the big things I want to talk about with this, Doom, I'm sorry, I didn't label this picture. You'll probably have to cycle through it. But I think we see one of two things in this, and I don't know which one it is. It's either Crane Daughter or Bride of Nine Spiders.
Mm, okay.
One of the immortal weapons. Go back. Okay, so show that, Doom. So this is Bride of Nine Spiders. She is... an immortal weapon. So, in Matt Fraction's run of the Immortal Iron Fist, when they start off, the seven cities of heaven all come together every, I think, 88 years or something like that for a giant tournament where all seven cities put their immortal weapons into the ring to fight it out. And the winner, the champion that wins, their city gets to appear on Earth every 10 years, which is a giant deal because otherwise, your dimension is just... your city limits. So, like, for 10 years, you're like, we're stuck in this city. And, I mean, it's cool. I'm living here, and this is great, but I really wish that I could get out and explore a giant world. So the champion city gets to appear every 10 years. The loser's cities appear every 50 years. So they're confined to their city for 50 years. So it's a big tournament. I don't know that they're going to do the tournament. I think that's a big, like, what the?
That's a lot of story.
Yeah.
That's a giant WTF for like...
Plus it isn't 13, it's 10, right? Or am I confusing that with Defenders?
No, you're confusing that with Defenders. Like,
okay,
Iron
so
Fist
they
is
have
still 13. Be a 13 episode.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
It, maybe. I might be wrong, but I think
it'd be weird for them to give him less.
Yeah, so here's a picture of all the champions fighting. Like, they all team up at some point because they all discover, like, a common evil that they have to fight against. But, like, there's, like, there's an orphan character. There's the Bride of Nine Spiders. There's Dog Brother Number One. There's Fat Cobra. Like, there's so many... on top, and Iron Fist is one of the immortal weapons. Like, that's what you discover, is he's one of seven. He just happens to be the champion that always wins. Like, every single tournament, Iron Fist always wins. In one of those tournaments, that not one of those tournaments, but one of the previous Iron Fists, Wendell Orson, I want to say is his name. No, Randall Orson. Orson Randall, sorry, I'm getting it all wrong. I apologize to everyone. Orson Randall kills Davos, the Steel Serpent, and the Crane Mother is upset by this, and she resurrects him and sends him out with her Crane brides, or Crane daughters, sorry. Crane Mother is absolutely Madame Gao. And we 100%. See her, we see her in this trailer. I can't imagine that she's anybody else but the Crane Mother. Like, we just saw that picture. It's a really tiny picture. I don't know if it'll show very well. But she's absolutely Madame Gao, and we'll discover that. She's, like, basically an immortal being, and she has Crane daughters. I think, though, she may end up working with Bride of Nine Spiders, and we saw her very briefly. I'm sorry that I'm not seeing the image in there. But there's Madame Gao. But there's a very split-second, blink-and-you-miss-it moment that I accidentally captured when I was going through just freeze framing. I was trying to freeze frame something else, and then I freeze framed this picture, and I was like, whoa, and it's a picture of a girl that looks exactly like Bride of Nine Spiders, and she's got like the low cut black dress, and it looks really weird and silky on her, and she's, I think that might be it, she's attacking Dan Rand, knocking him to the ground. Yeah, you can barely see it on the TV here.
Yeah, our screen's dark. I'm just seeing a silhouette in an armpit.
But yeah, but she's got her arms, and like, if you watch the whole scene, and again, it's very fast. You have to like, oh my God, there it is. But it's her attacking Danny Rand. And I swear to God, it's Madame Gao sending either the Bride of Nine Spiders or Crane Daughters after Danny Rand. And if they're doing that, then that means we're probably going to get Davos. That makes total sense because it's the Steel Serpent symbol that's been on the heroin packets in Daredevil Season 1. Like, that one image to me, that one like quarter of a second flash was like, everything's coming together, I see it all now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm right or not, but that's like immediately where my head went. So
Swan Pride once again. Good call, Swan Pride. Brought up, wasn't Madame Gao drawing cranes in the last season of Daredevil? I think she was.
Ooh.
You're right, she was.
Good call. That's a good, yeah, great
call. Great call. Great call, yeah.
Man, you know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna have to watch like 80 hours of TV. Like Daredevil Season 1, Jessica Jones, Daredevil Season 2, Punisher.
We haven't even talked about what's his name, Harold Meacham.
I'm gonna Meacham.
Thank you. Yeah, with that, because something with like the trailer. I mean, obviously, it looks like airplane accident. Probably on their way to. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, is it sabotage by Harold?
Absolutely sabotage by Harold. Yeah.
But then it's like, oh man.
But I don't think Danny Rand knows that. I think he definitely
wouldn't know.
And I think he slowly either he knows that and like. But he would have to discover that as it's happening, and then like build this vendetta for 10 years and go back to kick his ass. Or he goes back and slowly learns that from Joy and Ward, Harold's kids. So
maybe slowly, or maybe that's in one episode.
It's
like, by the way,
your dad's business partner killed you, your dad and your mom.
They have time, man. They got 13 hours.
They've totally got time. That's the beauty of these series, is they can build that stuff out. So. Man, guys, like I love this, man. I love this trailer.
It's a good minute.
Dead on.
It was a real good minute.
Yeah, watch the minute after we're done.
go watch that whole minute. And I wrote about this on Geek Girl Authority. So if you go to that website, you can see all the Bride of Nine Spiders stuff that I put down there. And
yeah, you think they'll do the battle between him and the dragon?
I don't know. I want to see.
How do you say his name? Shao Lao?
I've always said it's Shulao.
Shulao?
There's an amazing name floating around. I think one of our fans sent it to me, actually. It's the all four of the Defenders, and it's like Jessica Jones, chemicals, Daredevil, chemicals, Luke Cage, chemicals, Iron Fist, hugged a dragon.
Hugged a dragon.
And that even works for his character.
Yeah, like, it's so funny. Whoever sent me that, thank you. I laughed aloud for a while.
That's funny.
Chemicals, hugged a dragon.
All right, so,
and he's like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm now ready to move on to Doctor Strange.
Are you?
But are you guys ready to move on from Iron Fist? Doom, do you want to add anything to this? Or do you guys have anything else you want to say about the trailer before we move on?
I think we'll have a lot of Iron Fist, so I'm okay with moving on.
Yeah, I think we have. It's full tilt crazy, and that's all we can really say, because we only have a minute of like, whoa!
Yeah, okay, great.
I was going to say, being closer to the picture, I'm 95% sure you guys are right.
Bride and Nine Spiders or Granddaughter?
Yeah, Bride and Nine Spiders.
Yeah, right. Cool. Right. Yeah,
you can see on the image like the webbing on the top of her.
Yeah, there's like
her dress, like in the armbands, it's identical.
Yeah.
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 Matt Key confirms.
Key confirms.
Yeah, Key can. He talked to Jeff Loeb himself in a dream. Guys, if you go to Geek Girl Authority again, like I wrote an article about it there, and you can see the picture. It's a better quality picture there too. So anyway, let's move on to Doctor Strange. Last night they had at IMAXs around America a 15-minute preview of Doctor Strange. 15 minutes of footage. A lot of the footage that they showed has already been seen in trailers in some capacity, but this was the 15 minutes that we saw last night contextualized all of it. So everything that you've seen in a trailer is what I saw last night in some degree, but within the context of the scenes where you find them. So it's like, so that's what in the crazy hell is going on. So that they, even the people who were there, got a much greater idea than most of than the people who have not seen that footage. But even so, it's like, oh, but you still have not revealed the entire plot of the movie. Like, I still don't know who lives, who dies, how that happens, what the actual plot is. Like, still don't know any of that. I will say this, though. As a lifelong Doctor Strange fan who has defended his love of Doctor Strange his entire life to other nerdy naysayers who say, Doctor Strange is cool, but Spider-Man, Doctor Strange is all right, but Captain America, Avengers, whatever else, this movie last night, I left feeling very vindicated. And I say that, like, out of love, like, because, like, I know, like, you guys, you're not your Doctor Strange fans. Like, you like him, you get him, mm-hmm. but, like, last night on screen is what I've had in my head since I was, like, 11. And, like, like, it was, like, I felt the 11-year-old in me going, yes, aww. Yes, now you all see, now you get it. Like, it felt like the footage that I saw last night was very much saying, this is why Doctor Strange is an incredible character. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's like I've always said, like, you can't throw a vibranium shield at Dormammu. You can't, like, web his legs up and make
like
him fall.
Like I've always said, you can't throw a vibranium shield at Dormammu.
That might as well be your tagline, Coy.
Yeah, that's an amazing just series of words. That word salad is gold.
I say that every day. I wake up and say, like, well, you can't throw a vibranium shield at Dormammu. Let's go get the day. But, like, that's why I love the character so much. It's like... Right. Captain America runs into the... If he can even get to the Dark Dimension, right. Captain America runs into the Dark Dimension. He's like, giant demon with flaming head. Ding.
So it would kind of be like Harlequin with a bat against the Enchantress?
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you can't beat the Enchantress with a bat? Come on. Come on.
Matt Cook is joining us in the chat right now, and this is what he has to say.
Nice.
Matt Cook went with me last night, by the way. That was so fun.
He said
my God.
So good it was hard to make fun of you after.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot. Matt Cook to give full credit.
Which was saying a lot. And am I being a sore winner? Like, I feel like I'm being fair. Like, am I?
I don't know.
You're
being fair.
I don't want to insult anybody. Like, okay, then.
It's all I love.
I'm a very sensitive boy when I hear stuff like that. I'm like, oh no, am I doing that? I hate to monopolize the conversation. You guys weren't there, and I'm sorry, but please ask me any questions you want about what I saw. But I have to just monologue this, and I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's what we're
doing. I feel bad, like, because this is our show.
Do we have to put a spoiler?
Yeah, do we need to throw a spoilery deal?
I mean, maybe, but like.
It's a like, soft spoiler alert.
It's a
wall,
soft
guys.
Spoiler alert, yeah. So, like, if.
Spoiler alert!
So, if you're this far in and you want to know nothing else, stop watching. I'm sorry. We're Mackie, MRK, and Koi, and join us next week. all right, so here's the thing. It starts off, and you see. And I wrote all of this, again, like, on Geek Girl Authority. I wrote about it this morning. You can read everything. It's a giant, like, hey, I was an English major. Read this article. But. It starts off and you see, like, it's just Dr. Strange and Christine Palmer, played by Rachel McAdams, walking down, like, a hospital corridor, and she's like, hey, you should join me in the ER. We could really use your help. And he's like, screw you. I'm not, like, and he's very charming, yet arrogant. Like, you're mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I like this guy and I see his point of view, but that is the height of ego and arrogance. You know, like, he's up there with Tony Stark and, like, I'm pretty amazing. But, like, when he says it, he's smiling and you kind of smile with him. You're like, well, you are pretty amazing, Doctor Strange. But, like, the big reason is he's like, I'm doing the giant cases. Like, I'm doing the stuff that no one else can do. Like, I can't be bothered to come help some gangbanger who just got shot in the neck. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I'm doing the stuff that no one else can figure out. And she's like, you're so full of yourself. And he's like, someone's going to do this job, you know? Hmm. And, like, he makes sense. It makes total sense. Like, he's doing cases that no one else can solve. It just happens to be stuff that's booking him on Oprah, getting him book deals, and giving him a lot of prestige and a hell of a lot more money. So he invites her to some gala, and she's like, no, I hate going to those things with you because it's all about you. And he's like, whatever. So he's driving. He drives super fast. He's talking to his assistant on the phone. This was a great Easter egg. This is a fantastic Easter egg. He's like, hey, what new cases you got for me? And she tells him one. But then the next one she says is, we've got a United States Air Force colonel who impacted his lower spine and seems to be severed. It's a pretty interesting case. He's like, boring. I've already handled that one.
Okay.
So it's like this great war machine. Great. Like, but like Civil War like just happened like a couple weeks prior.
That's great. You mean he could have used his amazing hands to
right? Okay. Isn't that great?
Okay.
So, but he's like,
he did this.
It's like, yeah. So he could have walked so much sooner.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. Strange.
Thanks, Dr. Strange, you dick. So he's navigating, like, it starts to rain a little bit, and he finally hears a case that he likes, and he looks down at his phone to look at the x-rays as he's driving his, like, incredible, like, Aston Martin, just like, whoa, kind of car. And as he's like, he gets distracted because he's like, oh my God, that does look really interesting. I'm having a hard time seeing what I'm seeing. Like that, I want to do this case. Like, yes, this is the one. As he does that, he's distracted while he's driving. Mm-hmm. He accidentally veers into a car he's trying to pass on a 2-lane highway, hits that car, spins out of control, falls off a hillside into the water. They show his hands getting crushed very quickly and then snapping back. And then it cuts to him in Kamar Taj going to the Ancient One. And this is a lot of footage that we saw at Comic-Con, if you were there, where he walks up to her and she's like, have you ever seen this image? And she shows him a picture of like the chakras, you know? And mm-hmm. he's like, oh my God, yeah, I've seen that in a gift shop. Like, you're showing me chakras, really? Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, what about this? And she shows him an MRI. And he's like, okay, I get what you're saying. This is dumb. I can't believe I spent my last dollar to get here. And she says something like, these are all parts of a whole. And these people saw a particular truth, but they didn't see the whole truth. They've only seen this one little sliver. So chakras are true. So are MRIs. Everything that you're looking at the world through a keyhole. That's where you get that quote. Mm-hmm, right. She goes, I'm trying to show you that it's bigger than that, and you're not believing me. And he's like, this is dumb. And that's when she astral forms him. He snaps back. She pulls him back into his body. He's like, what did you put in that tea? And she's like, just honey. He's like, no, you must have put like LSD in there, psilocybin, so the mushrooms or whatever, that chemical. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, it's just tea with a little bit of honey. That's all it is. And she goes, you need to open your eye. And that's when you see that thing where she pulls him back and launches him. He tumbles into space. He flies in outer space. And he's just like, whoa, what is going on? A butterfly flaps by him. He's like, a butterfly? Then he gets snapped and pulled into countless other dimensions. Like, I don't know how they did this because I don't have words to describe what I saw. Like, you see him, like, launching through these weird geometric shapes, and he starts to become weird geometric shapes because he's in this brand new reality with its own brand new physics, and he has to match those physics in that reality, which transforms him. So he starts to become these weird geometric shapes. Then he gets into a dimension that's just spectrums of light, and he looks like he's going through warp zone, but then he starts to become those spectrums of light. It's still him. It's still a cohesive body in some way, but it's being stretched in a weird, like, what the F sort of way, and he just tumbles and tumbles, and he finally lands like weird dimensions. Like, and they said Ditko, it's Ditko, and I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
I do not know how they did it, but they absolutely did it. They found a way to say, here's the weird shit that Ditko did,
yeah,
and here's how we've imagined it in a way that's very real and grounded, and this could actually exist. And you see him, like, a lot of the Ditko stuff is, like, weird orbs with lines coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They show stuff like that, but it looks real. And you're almost lost in this weird space. And then you start to see those shapes starting to take shape. And Doctor Strange, in one of those clips, like, sort of lands on it before he gets sucked into another dimension. And finally, like after a few more of those, he gets sucked down. You know the image that they released with the Entertainment Weekly, like the super hyper colorful one where he's kind of almost upside down?
Yeah.
They did that. I was like, there it is! I've seen that and wondered how you're going to do it. And there it is! What is that? I mean, what is that? What is that? And he like does that weird thing, and then he gets snapped into this weird dimension where it's almost all dark, and you see like these structures around him, and it looks like he's kind of floating down a chasm in an ocean. But then, like as the light sort of settles, you see that the walls that are surrounding him are all undulating arms and hands, all like baby arms and adult arms, and it's like it. You know how like whenever you like imagine like Milton's Paradise Lost or whatever, and you see like all these like writhing bodies and like reaching hands, like save me, get me out of here, like that kind of thing.
Right.
It's that, but just arms, just disembodied arms.
So it's like Labyrinth.
Yeah, and it's just like they're, but the walls are constructed out of these things, and they're like moving and waving in these weird ways, and they start to reach out and pull at him, and he's pulling away, and as he pulls away from one, he looks at his hand. And his fingers start to grow hands. Like, each of his fingers now has an arm and a hand growing off of it. And then those hands, those fingers start to grow arms and hands. And he's starting to branch out into his own... Like, it's hellish. It is like... I'm sorry, everyone. If you have kids, mute it for a second. It's one of the most genuine what the fuck moments I've ever had.
Yes!
Where I was like, I'm a giant fan. I've been a fan since I was 11. I don't know what I'm watching.
Swear jar.
In the best way.
Swear jar.
But I mean that in the best way. I mean that as a compliment. Like, what am I seeing? Because in Doctor Strange, that's what you're supposed to see is what am I seeing?
Right.
I don't understand this. How did you do this? And then throughout that entire thing, you hear the Ancient One narrating to him almost in a mocking sort of way, like, Have you ever seen anything like this or what this or you know? And then like he snaps back to reality and he's in a chair and you hear her go, "Doctor, I think we're losing him." And he kind of looks at her like, "What?" And she goes, "Oh, you're not done." And she spins him and he launches back into space again, and he falls through even weirder dimensions, like dimensions that are so weird. My memory's like, "What? I can't remember that." No, you just have to watch that.
Oh man,
like it's the weirdest. Man. Like. Imagine doing 3 psychotropic hallucinogenic drugs all at once, and then sitting in a college dorm room listening to prog rock and looking at like one of those weird hallucinogenic posters. That's this movie. That like you're in blacklight, you're looking at all of this stuff, there's weird shapes flying through your head. They found a way to capture that.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
That's so much.
And it's the it is honest, like all the people who are like, "Oh, this is just going to look like Inception." No way.
I'm glad they saved that. I'm glad I haven't seen it.
And wow. I remember when we first saw the trailer, we were saying like, "Well, of course they're not going
to
show that."
Right.
Right.
I'm just glad that I get to. I mean, I'm really jealous you've seen that, but yeah. There's also a part of me that now that you're as amped, like 3 weeks, like I'm so excited to see that as a whole. Yeah. Like I'm ready.
Yeah.
My body is ready.
From there, that's when you see that moment where he falls to the chair, and the Ancient One like very coyly looks down at him and goes, "Have you seen that in a gift shop?"
Oh.
And what?
I just realized that today I have to be at work at 1.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Okay.
I usually have to be at work at 2.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I'll try to wrap it up as fast as I can. Do you need to take off now?
Because
I'm probably going to talk for like another 10 minutes.
I think I do.
Marquette.
No, I'm sorry. I should have realized. All right. Oh.
Go. Yeah. love you. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Yes.
Bye. What's your Twitter? At Markia McCarty.
At Markia McCarty. MarkiaMccarty.
Sorry about that, everybody. And sorry about that, Markia, that I'm going for so long on this. From there, you see magic. You see him starting his training. You see him with Wong. You have this great moment of him with Wong in the library that Wong controls. Some really funny jokes that he does there. Bye, Markia. But the magic, everything that you've seen of the magic is like runes and like mystical sort of like stuff swirling around his hands and everything like that, right? So in the movie, that happens, but there's a more organic nature to it where you almost have to form the magic. Like you can't hold up your hands and it appears.
Mm-hmm.
You hold up your hand and then this rune appears and then another one appears and it starts to kind of slowly manifest around you before you can do anything. Huh. So you have to build the magic around
you. Makes sense.
And it makes total sense. But, like, to actually see it in action is...
Oh, I can't even imagine. That's why I don't think this is a spoiler, because, like, I can't... My brain doesn't assemble it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, like, your brain can't assemble this until you've seen it. Because it's like the Matrix. Like, how do you explain the Matrix to someone who's never seen the Matrix? It's like, no, but it slows down and it's kind of three-dimensional and bullets are flying past. And you're like, okay.
Right, until
you've seen it. But once you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, no. You slow it down and the bullets are flying past and it's in slow motion, but almost 3D. Like, and maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion because I'm the biggest Doctor Strange fan in Los Angeles, but outside of maybe John Schnapp. Yeah, like, I loved it. So then here's maybe a bit of a spoiler. Maybe they name drop the dark dimension.
Okay.
So they're talking about how, like, the Avengers watch over the world. It's that whole scene that one of the trailers where you is like Wong is like, the Avengers watch over the world. We watch over everything else. We create a protective net for our entire universe from extra dimensional realities that are trying to invade ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. So the Avengers are like, Chitauri, no! But we are just like, oh, giant interdimensional threats trying to threaten all of reality and take over our reality so that we don't exist in any capacity at all, anywhere? Yeah, we'll stop that. So when they're saying that, Doctor Strange just says something like, well, like what? And they're like, well, there are some misled sorcerers who want to dig into the dark dimension and channel energies from the dark dimension. And then they show Caecilius doing some stuff with his zealots. And that's when you start to get all that stuff in there. They show a couple more scenes. Wait, what? Did I hear something? Oh, Koi, slide over. So then one last thing. So you know the scenes where, like, you see Strange running with Mordo and Caecilius does something and the world turns topsy-turvy and they slide away from a portal? That is going to be an incredible chase sequence. It's a chase sequence. And Doctor Strange is trying to open a portal. So they wear these sling rings, and they have to open this portal, and they have to concentrate on where they're going, and they do this thing, and the portal opens in front of them, and then they run through it, right?
Yeah.
So he and Mordo are trying to do that, and Caecilius doesn't want him to jump through whatever portals they're creating, so he is literally tilting the world and ruining the world around them to keep them from doing that. And the reality is still going on. This is like the fold between our reality and another reality, so he's like, can't go through that portal, so the world turns upside down and Strange and Mordo slide. So now what was the world to their right is now their floor. So now they're running up a skyscraper, and Strange starts to try and open another portal, and Caecilius runs after them. That's when he jumps in the air and slams down on the building, and it makes that weird wave. So that knocks Doctor Strange off. So now they're trying to open another portal, and then he splits the building in two. So now the building is like... and like twisting around each other, and that's where all these folding realities are in on each other, because Caecilius is like, no, I don't want you to go through a portal. And I don't know why. I have no idea why. I don't know why they're running from him, but I don't know why they're not confronting him. But then you also see one where the scene where Doctor Strange has like the magic around his arms and he's in front of a book and there's like this weird prismatic thing. When he does that, he's confused and terrified of what he's just done. I think that maybe he's playing around with a spell book he shouldn't be.
Okay.
And I think that is when he discovers that he can almost reverse time or freeze time or play with time with this book and this sorcery. Because you see him do that in this 15 minutes. He's fighting Caecilius and something happens where he like holds up his hand and that's that shot where like the runes are around him and it's that green shot and he's like...
Right.
He freezes time and they show time frozen all around him. And then he slowly starts to do that. And when he starts doing that, the world
starts going in reverse. I'm officially not watching a single other piece of anything.
Don't.
Henceforth, because I want to experience this naked. Like, I want to go in like not knowing anything.
Don't do anything, because I'm probably ruining way too much for you, and I apologize. But then, after all of that, you've heard the name drop of the Dark Dimension and all that. Here's another possible spoiler. I think we saw Dormammu.
Yeah, that's what blew my mind when you said that.
I think we saw it. It's either Dormammu or like a Lord of like Shambhala or something like that. And I say maybe because you see at the last thing that they showed really was Doctor Strange walking in this weird, like it is a weird looking ethereal plane. Like, where the F are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he walks up to what looks like a cliffside, and there's a giant, like massive, takes over half the screen face. And I say maybe because the face wasn't on fire.
Right.
But it
they
looked,
might save that.
It. Hopefully they're saving that. And hopefully they weren't just like Dormammu, the guy whose main distinguishing characteristic
big, a giant
is
head.
That he's got a giant flaming head.
Like in Power Rangers.
Hopefully they keep that. Hopefully they didn't decide to just axe that, because I will be like severely disappointed if they don't have a giant flaming head. But I think what they're doing is he can turn that flame off and mm-hmm. on. Like, and I think it's one of those things where he becomes angry. He's like,
right, like, give it escalation. On. Yeah.
But they show this scene of like Doctor Strange walking up to this, like on this cliffside, walking up to this giant face, and it looks like it's charred, and the face barely looks like a face. It's like this extra dimensional, like skin is folding in on itself. Like, what am I looking at? I can tell it's a face, but how? Mm-hmm. Kind of weird visual. And as he's doing that, it looks like he's about to like cast a spell on it. And this weird arcane wind flips by. And as that happens, like Doctor Strange like does this like Wolverine like shing kind of thing. And when he does that, this giant bubble shield appears around him. And I think you've seen that in the movie or the trailers as well. See this on IMAX. See it in 3D. Because that's how we saw it last night. And it's gorgeous.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. I never... Like, I like IMAX. I'm never going to be like, go see it in IMAX.
Yeah.
I like 3D. I prefer to see it in 2D.
I love IMAX, and I'm iffy on 3D.
Christ almighty.
Okay.
See this movie in IMAX. See it in 3D. Because it gives so much more depth and dimension to the depth and dimensions that he's going through. I can't.
I'm excited.
I left short-circuited last night. There's a reason... I completely forgot to do the rundown and send pictures. It's because I saw this at 7, went and grabbed food with Matt Cook and Brittany. Like, we grabbed dinner afterwards, and I just stumbled home.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what did I just see? I don't, like, I've got to remember what I just saw for the show tomorrow, but I don't know what I just saw.
Dude.
Like.
It's soon.
No, I know. Oh, and they gave out these really cool.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Posters. We've already seen that. You know, this is a poster we've seen online, but like, it's, you got Chiwetel Ejiofor, Wong, Caecilius, you got the Ancient One all inside of Doctor Strange's head.
Is it safe to say in spoilers?
In spoilers, yeah.
All right, we're back.
I'm sorry that I went for so long.
Hey, you know, man, it's 50 minutes of your life changing.
No, I know, but like, they, and I apologize, I'm going to curse again. They fucking did it.
Yeah.
They did it. Like, they did it. I still don't know how they did it. Language, Chris, swear jar. I still fully don't know how they did it.
It's
in 3 weeks, yeah. I still do not fully know how they did it.
Right. It comes out November 4th.
November 4th. I'll see it on the 4th. I know you'll probably go
on the 3rd.
I feel like I'm cheating on a Thursday. It's weird.
It's still the same Monday.
Dude, I know.
I need to see it as soon as humanly possible.
I'm going out of town that weekend.
But 7 p.m. Thursday, I'll probably tweet where I'm going so I can meet up with some of you guys if you're local. And yeah. I want to like experience it as soon as possible.
We're going to the El Cap.
Okay.
We got our tickets at El Capitan.
I'm going to see it IMAX to be probably Brodang because that's a real IMAX.
But and I'll go see it multiple times.
Yeah. No,
like,
I'm really
El Cap is where I have to go see it. That's our tradition. I've always got to go to El Cap if they're showing the Marvel movies.
And depending on the election the next day, our world might end. So I'd like to see it before that happens. Yeah, so I'm going to see it on Thursday.
That's a good point. But yeah, it's, they did it. They did it. They did it. That's all I can, they did it. That's all I can say.
I'm so excited.
After like a 20-minute monologue of just me like blah, 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 crying in the microphone.
In summation, all the red stuff you missed with the spoilers, they did it.
They did it. They effing did it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I don't know if we can top that rant. I think that's how
we close.
Well,
I mean, that's why I closed with that. Like, I was like, well, I don't want to go talk about Iron Fist after that.
I'm going to let you regain yourself. I'm going to give some brief shout outs. There's only a few.
Do it.
You
do
recover.
It. Yeah.
I'd like to shout out Gold Gaga 25 on our iTunes, RS Kid, and then most recently, Anakin JK Gatsby, who I think has left stuff before because I love that name. Anakin JK Gatsby, thank you guys for that lovely comments on there. And then also last week, I missed a shout out to BallOut357, who I've talked to on Twitter recently. Awesome person. People in the live chat have been asking where this shirt came from. This is the ever lovely, ever talented Max Herron.
Oh, dude, that guy's awesome.
That guy makes quality shirts.
That guy's great.
We've had a few people make our shirts. All of them are amazing. The current one is from Max Herron, who might be making us a Marvel Movie News shirt, hopefully, if things go well.
Oh, that would be great.
We might get that moving and grooving. So if you go to T-Fury, look at Max Herron. This is available. It's awesome. And then personally, from me to you guys, I am in the running to be on the next Drunk Movie Fights. They're only doing one more.
Oh,
and they're going to do a vote. So if you guys follow Screen Junkies or Andy, they're going to be a vote today for drunk movie fights, and I would love to be on that. So yeah. Vote for me, because if you like me sober on this show, you'll see what I'm like drunk on that show.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't be PG-13. It's going to be good. So I just want to share some love to that, and
Now, who was it that's having a baby?
Oh, yes. This amazing photo. Doom, if you could pull that up, it'd be amazing. Dallas Stumler, one of our longtime fans, had the best birth announcement ever. It made me so happy. I wanted to share it with you guys on the air. It's real exciting. It's adorable, and it's Marvel-tastic, and I'm really proud of it. And we're going to be pulling that up in just a moment.
But yeah, Dallas Stumler, at Dallas J. Stumler, says, wanted to share this with you all. And it's The Legacy Continues. They're apparently Captain America fans, and they've got a new Steve Rogers coming into the world.
Oh, the legacy continues. That's the cutest. Love it.
Congratulations, guys. Also, Spencer Harris just tweeted at us at Sun Moon Night. Could I get a shout out? It's my 18th birthday next Monday. So happy birthday, Spencer Harris. 18, turning 18.
Big one. And as
it's
always,
a big one. It's a giant one.
Sorry about the last few weeks. It's been tricky to give shout outs and stuff. So if you guys have tweeted us, I apologize. Matt was sick last week, so the show got put together literally that morning. So the last few weeks has been a little crazy.
And then today, like, we just.
Well, then today, Matt 30. Had just experienced
we're just
strange.
We're at an hour 30. So. I'm so bad at time management. This is awful. So anyway, I think that's everything.
The vote will go out later today. It'll be on Twitter. It hasn't gone up yet. They're just assembling that. So I would really love to drunk movie fight. So
yeah, yeah. So anyway, thank you for joining us. Sorry, Micaiah had to leave, but you know,
now they've had our feature length Disney long episode.
I am sorry. I'm so bad at time management. I've got to get better at this. Hour 35.
Hey, right, you know what? It's good. It's good.
Yeah. Sorry, Doom.
Post New York Comic Con, post Doctor Strange viewing.
It was
post
pretty
big. Being gone for a week.
It was
and
pretty
post
big.
Luke Cage, which we didn't even talk about, by the way. Next week we'll talk about Luke Cage.
But you guys talked about it last week.
But we didn't.
Well, that's fair. Whatever. Yeah. All right,
Luke Cage. We're wrapping up the after show on Saturday.
Eddie Brock at Gonzo7792. I just saw your tweet. I got the shirt on We Love Fine. Great website. Great website. Go get that. I think this is Quesada, I want to say. It's from a Strange Tales cover.
Those are Quesada hands.
Yeah,
definitely
It's from a Strange Tales cover, like Strange Tales number 4, I think, or something like that. Like the modern retelling with Cloak and Dagger, and they go to weird dimensions.
Oh, and we don't ignore Freeform, by the way. Someone in the live chat was mentioning. We just haven't had any news on the Cloak and Dagger show, so Freeform is just we have nothing to update. When we do, of course, we'll let you guys know.
ABC Family, yeah. Anyway, on that note, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Koi Jandro, Matt Key, we'll see you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.